Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, you know, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. I said I have a treat, and it is an unbelievably wonderful treat because we have a guest, Vasundhara Srinivasan, a technology leader, triathlete, I can't do one athletic thing, a yoga instructor, and a debut novelist. How many people do you know that do things like that and write a novel that's rising in people's interest? And it's called Rising with the Saffron Sun. But I am going to let her tell you more about herself as a mid-year Canadian immigrant and how she discovered her passion for endurance sports. Good morning.
Hi there. Morning.
Introduce yourself to our audience.
Oh my gosh. Okay, sure. My name is Vasundhara. I'm a technology professional. That's my day job. And when I'm not working, for the most part, I'm either working out or I'm studying or I practice yoga. I do a whole lot of things, just living life every moment. Thank you for having me on your show here, Charlotte.
Yes, I'm so interested in how you discovered your passion for endurance sports in 2020. A lot of people, when you look at the Olympics, they show people from 4 years, 5 years old. How did you come into this, I won't say it midlife, later in life?
This was actually beyond my midlife. So I was 37 when I discovered triathlons. This was just around the time when we were all sheltering in place and there was very little we could do indoors at a gym or in a yoga studio, which was mainly my, my primary place to go and kind of explore movement. So I started spending a lot of time outdoors. I was in Vancouver at that point in time. I started going on these long bike rides with my very first bike that I bought in Vancouver. And I started just realizing that I could go on for long distances without getting bored. Then I translated that into running. And then one day I stumbled upon a documentary which was something to do with, vegan food or something like that. But the protagonist in that documentary was a triathlete, and he got into the sport at the age of 50. So that inspired me, and wow. I kind of, started doing a little more research. I really didn't know much about swimming. So, I went on YouTube, picked up some tutorials, went to the local YMCA, started swimming. And before I knew it, I was into it. I think the triathlon bug just bit me and I decided I want to do more. So that's how I kind of got into it.
Now, wait a minute. We hear people, going on YouTube looking for watermelon drinks or ways to save money on their electricity. But you actually use YouTube to get started with this biking.
With swimming. I am primarily from the University of YouTube. I go to YouTube to learn everything. So it could be anything. I find that there's a world of knowledge out there on YouTube, and it's really inspiring.
Now, again, I didn't watch all of the Olympics, but the triathlons, one of your dissatisfactions was related to the triathlons. In what way was that?
I think that the triathlon community is incredibly welcoming. It's a vibrant community full of people across age groups. You'll see different types of people in a triathlon community typically. But when I got into it first, I quickly realized that I couldn't see too many people of color in the sport. And when I see people of color in the sport, they are normally champions. They are doing something amazing out there. They're really icons in the sport. But I don't really see too many recreational endurance triathletes or endurance sports participants that are people of color. So for me, that felt like I want to normalize this. I want more people of color to just feel like this is something that we could do recreationally. We don't have to be a champion. We can just do this as a form of movement, as something new that we can explore, a great community that we can be a part of.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. That's one of the things that give you a passion to get out there. And do you go to meetings? How do, since this is an underrepresented community, how do you bring people together?
So, a couple of things that I realized that triathlon typically is perceived as a sport, which is really, there's a lot of investment that you need to do. This is the overall perception. When you get into the sport, you see people they will have different types of equipment, different price ranges. But when I got into it, and I'm a typical, person of color, mid-career, mid-life immigrant, I don't really spend too much money on a lot of things. So when I got into it, I bought like a basic starter bike. I think a true triathlete is probably going to cringe as they hear this, but I really just bought a starter bike. I enrolled at the local YMCA, and I did have to do open water lessons. Those were a little expensive, open water swimming lessons, but there are wonderful clinics out there that can really get you from zero, I would say, from like a, from a beginner novice to at least getting confident to do a sprint distance open water swimming, of course. And running is really like the cheapest sport you can think of. You could just need a pair of shoes and like, some shorts or something, and you're out. So it is a perception that it's really expensive. So that becomes a barrier to entry. So I think that's the starting point. But once you get into it, there are local triathlon clubs. There are incredible, even on Strava or any of the fitness social media platforms, you will see groups that just kind of go out there and they want to do this together as just, just to be part of a community. It doesn't really cost any money. So when you, these are the things that I would love to communicate to people that are like me, that are maybe, over the age of 30, maybe, I don't know, and they don't really see too many other people of color in the sport. But I just want to let them know that this is an amazing community, and I think we should be normalized in these spaces. More of us should be there.
Now, as a tech executive, you don't find many tech executives who are also endurance athletes. But I mean, partly it's because they may be there, but you don't hear the stories. But how did your career and your experience as a tech executive allow you allow you to explore this intersection of wellness, fitness, and cutting-edge technology?
One of the things that every technology professional can relate to is the number of hours we spend in front of a screen. There are days, especially during the 2020 to 2023 period, the tech industry really went through this boom where there was remote work, and for some reason there was also way too much work. So at least personally, I found myself spending easily maybe 10 to 12 hours in just front of a computer. We're just on Zoom calls. So the desire to just be away from the screen is really compelling. So it started with just me wanting to go out for a run. I'm done with my work. I just want to step away from the computer. I want to go out for a run. And then that translated to biking, long bike rides over the weekend, and swimming maybe early mornings or something like that. So I would say that it is a bit of a challenge to do this along with a really busy schedule, but that challenge, that friction is something that we all need. Otherwise we feel like it's life is just like this one straight line. We need that friction. We need to do some hard things and some challenging things, which really makes us put ourselves out there and learn something new about ourselves.
This world is not meant for you. Run, boy, run. They're trying to catch you. Run, boy, run. Running is a victory. Run, boy, run. Beauty lies behind the hills. Run, boy, run. The sun
sun will be guiding you. Run, boy, run. They're dying to stop you. Run, boy, run. This race is a prophecy. Run, boy, run. Break out from society. Oh, is another day, hey. And you don't have to hide away, yeah. You'll be a man, boy. But for now, it's time to run, it's time to run. Run, boy, run. This ride is a journey to run, boy, run. The secret inside of you. Run, boy, run. This race is a prophecy. Run, boy, run. And disappear in the trees. Tomorrow is another day, hey. You don't have to hide away, yeah. You'll be a man, boy. But for now, it's time to run, it's time to run. Tomorrow is another day, hey. When the night fades away, yeah. You'll be a man, boy. But for now, it's time to run, it's time to run.
And it, what you're saying, exciting. And then because yesterday I went to a popular drugstore and they had a magazine. It looked really beautiful, you know, so I picked it up. But when I was riding down here, I was looking at the page. Every page had something for you to worry about, from your face, you know, to your teeth. And the problem was there that, you know, you're not having enough fruit, or you are losing weight. But on the next page, there was a weight formula. There was nothing in between the intersection talking about take a walk, go to a garden, go swimming, go biking. And I thought, isn't this interesting? So that makes me think that the way that you've made this transition over to having a novel is something that might be an antidote to these publications that seem like they're things to help people understand their health, but really it's to make people either more worried about their health and not really explore. There's not one, 20 pages, not one thing about going outside or what you can do outdoors. But
so, yeah, you bring up a really interesting point here, Charlotte. This is something personal, because in that 2020 time frame, it was a time frame when there was so much uncertainty. There was a lot of fear. And for the first time in my life, I experienced something like anxiety. I never feel that way. Normally, I've never ever experienced a physical sensation of anxiety, but I started feeling that. And I didn't have the resources or the understanding or the self-awareness to name it and label it as anxiety. But When I kind of found out that this is what I'm, you know, through my online research or something, I figured out this is what it is. Like, this is anxiety. I started reading some interesting books on this topic, and all of them were nonfiction books. And one of those books actually said something like, if you are able to create some degree of friction, so like you're doing something challenging, that actually, you know, something like running and especially physical activity, for some people, their level of anxiety is, it could just go away if you just go out for a walk. But some folks, they are designed that they need to do something incredibly hard, like run 20 kilometers in order to just like, you know, wrap their brain around all of that extra anxious energy that is in them. So I think for me, endurance sport became like that kind of an outlet where when I'm swimming, I have to only focus on my breath and my strokes. I can't do anything else. I'm an adult onset swimmer. If I don't focus on that every single moment, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to lose my balance when I'm swimming, lose the rhythm when I'm swimming. So this was a great outlet. And to your point, everything that I found in fiction, whether it's on streaming services or if I'm seeing something online, there's a lot of polarized content. People want to see something like, you know, there's murder or, you know, yes, anything that can be like really anxiety provoking. But whenever I would watch something related to sports, I would feel amazing. If I would watch like a fiction story, and it's not really about champions, it's about just maybe, you know, a movie that I saw that was something about a child that is trying to learn football and, you know, he doesn't really belong, an underdog story, it would make me feel really uplifted. But then that made me think, I don't really see too many people of color represented in that area. And if I do see those kind of movies or books, it's mainly this person, the arc is normally, this person started off as an underdog and then they became a champion. I'm like, yeah, I don't really want this to be my full-time job, but I still want to do it. And that's how this story actually just came to me. The story in my book is really that of someone who's just a regular person. She's not a champion.
Yeah, give us a little bit of introduction, a little flavor of your character.
Sure. So this character starts off her journey from a village in India. And then, you know, then she's in a school, she's in a city in India that's got nothing to do with triathlons as such. But then she's exposed to this sport and she kind of just falls into it. You'll have to read the book to find out how she falls into that sport. And then she gets an opportunity to participate in an international triathlon that is incidentally based in Vancouver. It's in Penticton. Now, I will say I've borrowed a little bit from my own journey, but I've written this book for my younger self. You know, I think when I was in my 20s, I was doing all of these things, you know, kayaking or running or anything, but I didn't even know there's something called a triathlon. Maybe this is me being ignorant. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know endurance sports or anything. I definitely had way more energy back then, but I didn't know about it. So I felt compelled to just share this story, hoping that my younger self gets to read it and feels inspired, maybe just to give it a try.
Now, I think that's interesting, you know, because when you said your younger self, because a lot of people say, I wrote it for my children or I wrote it for my students. But how, when you picture your younger self, what do you channel or feel?
I think that it comes from a place of constantly, I love this sport. I love triathlons. The way I am, I'm so new to the sport. And where I am in my journey at this point in time, I'm able to do sprint distances with confidence. Remember, I'm someone who just started to swim at a very late stage in my life. I didn't learn how to swim before, but I've never ever gone beyond maybe 15 meters or something like that. So I'm able to do sprint distances. That is typically a 750 meter swim, a 20 kilometer, 21 kilometer bike ride, and a 5 kilometer run. Now, I strongly, every time I do a triathlon, I've done three triathlons up until now, but every time I do it, every single practice session, I just keep thinking, I wish I knew about this when I was, you know, in my 20s. My body I think by now I would be doing Ironmans or something like that. There are a lot of people who get into this sport at a midlife stage, and they really do an incredible job. But my body is just not built that way. So every time I think that, I feel like, well, why don't you do something about it? I tell myself that. And this book is like a piece of my heart. So this is my way of doing something about it. I hope that maybe someone just sees the cover and gets attracted to it, or maybe someone just, you know, gets inspired by the cross-cultural journey, and then they kind of learn in that process, they learn a little bit about endurance sport. It'll be a great win.
Now that gives me two questions. So the first one I wanted to ask, knowing how deficit the encouragement and the general culture is for girls in sport, do you see your book, has it given you an opportunity to speak to younger girls about any of the, just what it means to be a triathlete and endurance athlete?
I think if you ask anyone, at least I represent the South Asian diaspora. So if you were to look at folks that are like me, the biggest barrier that we will come up with is typically, a lot of people have asked me this, a lot of my friends that are not into the sport have said, you know what, I love swimming, but what do you do with your hair?
Uh-huh.
First barrier. That is the absolute first barrier. If you look at the products out there in the market, they will not say anything about our textured hair and our natural hair. It'll never say anything about that. You do have some beautiful products, but you have to really go out there and look for it. So that's the first barrier. The second thing is like, even biking, it's not a normal thing. It's not like a, it's not yet, now the sport is gaining a lot of popularity in India, but even then I see very few young women that are getting drawn to it, or forget about people that are my age. It's like, I'm probably the one person in my entire friend group that is into something like this. Now, I'm not saying that get started from day one, get into triathlons, but maybe you want to go on longer hikes. Maybe you want to just challenge your body a little bit. You know, maybe just do a swimming lesson in your community center and just experience that beautiful feeling. So one of the chapters in my book, I do draw a parallel to yoga, because I'm a yoga instructor. I draw a parallel to yoga and swimming. So that I just want to show that these worlds are all, there is some window, there is a bridge between our culture and this particular sport as well. So I'm hoping that, you know, this conversation, it becomes like a conversation topic, and more people are finding this to be something that's normal. It's not something that's weird. What is this swimming that you, what is this triathlon that you're doing? Like, it's not something weird. It's actually a normal, it's just a normal recreational sport.
I'll smile, I know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah. I put my feeling sure is the only way to make friendships grow, but I'm too afraid.
Now, with cutting edge technology, do you think, in what ways have that given you an advantage or in crafting a book or moving forward? Because I know with technology, you've got deadlines and you have processes. In what ways has this helped you in advancing and finishing your book?
Okay, so one of the things I will say is this specific year, I've had a lot of work-related travel. I've had to do a lot of work-related travel. So there were long stretches when I was either at an airport, I was, you know, at an odd hour. Like I remember there have been times when I've had to take a flight, which is at 6:30 a.m. And I'm probably just, you know, going south of the border. So I'm going to the U.S. and I'm a Canadian. So I have to go through a long immigration process or something like that. So I'm stuck in an airport at 3:30 or 4 a.m. and I'm going to be there for like 2 hours. No one from my team is up. Everyone's on the West Coast. Or I'm stuck in a flight for about 5.5 hours. I'm an early riser. So I had these pockets of time which were just meditative. There was no interruptions, no distractions. So I used that time. That was one of the things that I used. And now I'm going to give a little secret for folks that are looking to write a book. This is a little piece of nugget that I would love to share on your show, only for your show listeners. I did this thing called YouTube Live. Now, probably a lot of people may be familiar with this, but there are YouTubers out there. And I said, Charlotte, I'm from the University of YouTube.
Yes, yes.
there are these live study sessions that take place on YouTube. So it's folks that just get onto the same session and they're just quiet. They're together, but they are just sitting and working on their own projects. So there were times when I was in a hotel room and I'm not able to sleep. Maybe I'm feeling like it's very unfamiliar, the environment. I would just hop onto a YouTube Live and I would study. The other folks were studying and I was writing my novel. So there's no distractions, but you have some company to work on the project together. So it was mainly just long stretches of flights, super early mornings, or these YouTube Live sessions, and that's how I got the first draft of the book out. Yeah.
Wow, that is so interesting, because I've had to take some, well, almost any time I'm going to the States, I have to be at the airport. Well, they say be there at 6, but they don't get the stuff out. You're just sitting there. And so I can picture, I'd never picture going into a classroom or a room where they're just people being together and working. So that little nugget, anyone who's listening, share it with a friend. It's valuable.
Yeah.
Last night I was searching for rain music or something, because sometimes the anxiety of whether technology stuff is going to work or whatever. I was looking and I started seeing some things that said live class. And I thought, how are they doing a live class on YouTube?
You got it. You got it. It's so much fun. It's just like, I mean, I'm one of those folks that likes to be in a coffee shop or likes to be around people, not necessarily interacting, but I love that feeling of everyone's working together. I think that also gets translated in a triathlon. It's typically a solo sport in that you don't really do it with a team, but there's a huge group of people that are all just kind of, you know, working out together, or they're executing an event together. And that feeling is just, you know, it just unites everybody together.
Wow. Speaking of that feeling of rising, I want to go back to the title of Rising with the Saffron Sun. I'm picturing saffron in a bowl or saffron in my tea, but tell us about the Saffron Sun.
Okay, thank you. That's an excellent question, Charlotte, and I'm so glad you asked it. So one of the things is my character, as I said, she originates from India. She has a little bit of this core where she connects with nature. You know, she's really drawn towards like nature, and this sport also connects you towards nature. Now, saffron as a color is very deeply symbolic in the Indian culture. So I kind of wanted her core Indian background to be, to be at the forefront, and also Another thing is, although she goes to Canada for this triathlon, and she's part of this community in Canada now, executing this race, and you know she makes all of these friends over there. I still want her to feel that she's still connected to her root in some manner, and that's the reason I picked this image. Like I think I personally felt it as an Indian immigrant in Canada. I personally had these moments where I suddenly started feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my connection with my root. But then when I see some colors or I listen to some songs or, you know, some food, or these sensory memories make me feel like I could be anywhere in the world, but I'm still rooted and I'm still grounded. That's why I wanted this to be like, she is rising, but she's rising with the saffron sun. And no matter where she is, she's going to be connected to her culture.
Well, I was picturing it. The word grounding was coming to me as you were speaking, because we have stories of athletes who have mental or emotional health breakdowns because as they get separated out from their community or expected to behave in a certain way, they lose their grounding. So I think that it's important that it'll be important in reading this book to see how she grounded the character.
Yes, and also there's a little bit of a hint there. You will only find out towards the end of the book. It does take a very unexpected turn. You have to know, all I can say is you have to know that I'm a technology professional. So that flavor is always going to be there in my book. So there is a little bit of a twist. I am going to be writing a sequel to this book as well. So you have to kind of tune in to see the deeper meaning of rising with the saffron sun.
Now, is this a romance? I heard this a romance.
No. I've tried not to make that the focal. I will just say that it's contemporary coming of age, but I'll leave it at that. There's subtle romance, maybe.
Yeah, we're not going to say it has to be, but it's just the idea. Sometimes people want to read a book where there's a happy relationship or something interesting, you know,
yes,
going on.
Yep, for sure.
Are you now within your workplace or environment, or people, do people ask you to talk or speak about your experience as an athlete or your experience in endurance? Is there any way that overlaps into your work environment or social environment?
Really, I think my colleagues definitely know that I like endurance sports and I like participating in all of this. But like I said, and this is a very interesting question that you've asked me, actually, Charlotte, because I work with a multinational company. There's folks from different walks of life over here. And what I notice is that for certain communities, for example, I think let's just say that it's predominantly, maybe let's just say that it's a predominantly North American presence. So you see a lot of North American folks here, right? It is just a part of their life. This is my observation as someone who was an immigrant. When I first moved to Vancouver, I used to tell my friends in India, everyone wears Lululemon, everyone's got a cup of coffee, everyone's either going out on a run or they are biking. And all of this is just part of the culture. It's just everyday life. But if I were to do something like that, it would be news in my friend circle. Everyone would be like, wow, you did this long distance bike ride. This is amazing. So what I noticed is that once I kind of got into this sport, I realized that for a majority of my colleagues, this is just normal. This is just part of your life. But if I talk with my friends that are primarily from India and they're based in India, for them, this is something unique and this is something, wow, this is something extraordinary. So I find myself talking and sharing more with them rather than my colleagues. For my colleagues, it's like, hey, great, welcome to the sport, you know, welcome to this this side of the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, my experience growing up in the United States as a Black child, I loved track. I loved running. And in junior high, you know, girls could run track. And then suddenly we got over into senior high and we were told they weren't going to have a sports program, running program for the girls. And someone decided it was not feminine. There was no support in the community for it. And so a friend, Linda, and I decided we would organize a cafeteria strike. Well, of course, they called our parents and just said, you know, tame it down. So I didn't run again from then. You know, I just something made me feel like, how could it be so bad? And then when you mentioned about hair, you know, when we had swimming or we had different events, there was this thing, your hair needs to be, there were so many can'ts. And then so many worries about getting your hair wet. Well, now, you know, there's so many products and so many things, but there was someone that actually gave, during the time I was in high school, Kansas City, Kansas was, even though it was a northern state, it was still de facto segregated. So five high schools, five black junior highs, all fed into one historical black high school. And so we had one of our instructors had run in the Olympics in Germany, but there was just no mention, no idea, no encouragement that you would throw a javelin or broad jump, some of these things that you see now. So, but around hair, there was a thing, you would have to cut your hair if you ran. And now to see the women from Africa, Kenya, all over the United States with long braids, not just braids, but long braids, and obviously it is not cutting down their time. I think being able, as you are talking to girls and exposing, are a lot of myths that people of color, there are different little things that are discouraging. Little things in between the lines, not overt, but things that in the back of your mind think, oh, well, maybe I don't belong, or maybe if I do belong, or if I go and I take my bike, they won't accept me, or they'll ride away from me. So I think that's one of the exciting things about your book being there. Books inspire other people to write, and then you said you're going to do a sequel, series. That's exciting because, you know, this is still a reality that people of color, or women of color in particular, are not really shown to be normal. have normal relationships, have aspirations, have children, you know, do the different things that you do. Go to a YouTube room at night. But
I know some incredible women out there, women of color out there that are everyday folks. I like to think of them as everyday athletes. They are not really champions. Like, I know Sika Henry, whom I'm so inspired by. She's the first Black woman pro triathlete ever. So she's amazing. When I saw her, especially when I was looking for my hair, I came across a post and that's how I stumbled upon Sika Henry. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. But I do have some friends who are women of color that are also into endurance sports, and they have a lot more in their lives. Like, they have kids, they have, you know, full-time, some of them have two jobs, a full-time job and a part-time job. They're still doing this. I want all of these stories to be out there. I want these stories to reach everybody. And I don't want to make it entirely only sports oriented. So you will see in this novel as well, there's an interesting story wrapped around it. So I just want this to be, you know, once our narrative enters into pop culture, that's when things start becoming, you know, hey, this is normal. You know, everybody does this and so do we. So I want this to be, I want this book to have a similar effect, I'm hoping. Recently, one of my friends from college, she said that she's going to be sharing this book with her daughter, whose ambition is to swim in the sea. So when I heard that, I just felt like so great. I just felt like this was the best feeling ever. I just want these normal. I know if I would have told my primary caregiver that I want to swim in the sea, she'd have said, you know, there's something wrong with you. Like, what is wrong? What are you doing? So, I want these little dreams and aspirations, and even this thought that when it comes into your mind, when you see something on TV and you think that, yeah, maybe I should give this a try. I want a person to just go and do that instead of, like, you know, just letting that thought go.
And it's interesting that you've got You already are picturing the sequels. What's going to follow? I see the movie. I see that Saffron Sun.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains. We're gonna walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. And I'll rise up, high like the waves. I'll rise up, in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. With you, with you, with you, with you. The silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. With you, with you, with you, with you. For that we have each other. I will rise a thousand times again, and we'll rise up.
One of the things you ask people about their passion, their project, and their purpose, what do you feel is your purpose in life? Do you think people are born and have a purpose in life?
Yeah, I think everybody has a purpose in life. And there was this one morning when I woke up, incidentally, and I was, you know, looking at the sunrise. In a moment, I realized that my soul's purpose is to educate. Now, I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I'm not an expert at anything, but I'm an expert at learning. I love learning. I love continuous learning. And my soul's purpose is to take my learning process and share it with as many people as I can so that they can learn too. And just stay with me here. There's this incredible podcaster and intellectual, I would call him, Dr. Andrew Huberman. In one of his podcasts, he explains that one of the most effective ways of studying is if you study a concept or you learn something and you immediately go out and you teach it to someone.
Yes.
You're not an expert.
Yes.
But you are learning something and you're immediately teaching it to someone. That is what helps you with your own learning process. So I quickly understood that this is my soul's purpose. Learn. This is going to be a lifelong activity for me to learn, but it's incomplete unless and until I share and I educate. And that's how this book or anything I do in my life, I just love sharing it and I love educating. I love I love it when people are part of my learning process. So this is what is the purpose. And that's how this project also came about. I want folks to learn something maybe about themselves when they're reading the book, or maybe learn something new about the Salish people. I do touch upon that in my book because part of the book is based in Vancouver in British Columbia. Really just learn something about yoga maybe, and all of these things are something that I'm learning. I would love for other folks to learn with me.
Now, in comparison with that magazine that I saw in a grocery, pharmacy store, where every page gave you something else to worry about, and then the next page gave you the solutions they had in a bottle or a powder. But I see this excitement that you have. It can excite people in two ways. It could excite them about getting involved in a sport or endurance sports, but also say, oh, she wrote a book. Maybe I could too.
Yes.
I think we are going to ask you where people can contact you. Where can they get the book? Tell us about that.
Sure. So the best place to get the book is on Amazon. It is available on several markets, several countries on Amazon, in both the Kindle format as well as the print paperback format. One of the interesting things that I've learned through this process is that you can download a Kindle app on any device and you can really just read from a digital bookshelf. So if that works for you, that's great. So right now the book is just out and it is exclusively on Amazon. And the best place to get in touch with me is to read that piece of my heart that I've put out there, and please leave me a review. I am waiting to see those reviews out there, and I will respond to each and every review that comes my way.
Yes, for people who may not know, reviews are important on whatever platform a person has, because the people who do the marketing, the people who invite people to go with them if they're going on a book tour or a book fair, they look at the reviews. So as you enjoy the book, as soon as you've read the first two or three pages, do a review so that it encourages other people. And also because it's something that in the experience of people learning, how do I market a book? It's like what goes around comes around. So if you have been the kind of person that's commented on other people's books or even just sent them an encouraging word, that's something that you can welcome to come into your life as you create, whether it's a book, a story, a picture, but it's just, it goes around. It comes around.
Folks can even go a step further if they finish reading the book, or even if they read a sample chapter and it makes them feel like going out for a run or a bike ride or a swim. I think that would be the best gift that I can receive. Mm. That would be the best message that I can receive.
I'm picturing that the person is on the beach and, they anchor their book down, go and get in the water, come back.
What a wonderful feeling. Oh, what a wonderful feeling that is. I love that. I love that image, Charlotte.
I love that image of the saffron sun. Is there somehow, I'm picturing, well, maybe I'm seeing the movie and I see the saffron sun.
I love
it. But is the saffron sun something that people, here we have eclipse and different things where people go to watch it because it's the moon is so exciting. Is the saffron sun something that is like that?
That's a very beautiful angle that you've brought up. And I'm glad you asked me this question. So this character, she is primarily like a natural runner kind of thing. She's grown up, she's been running around the this specific mountain range in a state in India. And one of the things that this is known for is when you actually go to a sunrise point, you can actually see each peak getting lit, or, you know, getting bathed in that golden saffron hue if you catch it at the right time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do go to these peaks to just catch that glimpse of every peak, that those cascading peaks being lit up by that golden light. So that's where, that was the primary inspiration. And I kept looking for that effect when I moved to Vancouver. I kept looking for that effect of that sunrise, and I would literally be chasing the sunrise every morning. So, and then it's the first time in my life when I moved to North America and to Canada, I learned that there could be days when there is no sun. I never knew this. In India, there's way too much
sun. Those days I want to just crawl under the covers.
Oh my gosh.
That there is no sun. It's just gray.
Yeah. So I became this person when I was in Vancouver, when I would just chase the sunrise. I just want to see the sunrise or the sunset, anything, just show me the sun. So that's where the, you know, that's when I realized how much I took that those sunrises that I saw in India for granted. But every time I would see a stunning sunrise in Vancouver, over a peak or over a hill even, it was the most beautiful, most uplifting feeling. Even sunsets, actually, those are also incredibly beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I love sunsets. There's some beautiful sunsets across against the mountains here. When
yes.
I look out my back, the sun, I'm living in the west, and
wow.
So I see the sun glinting pinks and purples, all kind of colors off the mountains.
Beautiful.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF. This morning we've had the privilege of having as our guest Vasundhara Srinivasan. She is more than a technology leader. She is an inspiration in technology, a yoga instructor. She ties so many things together between her enthusiasm to teach people, but to motivate people to read a book or to do something, read, write, or experience. I'll say I call letters again because you could tell a friend. Join us at cjsf.ca. The Sulu'au Show is S-U-L-U-A-U. And it's because my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. So this morning, our guest, Vasundhara, has given us a lot of things that we could act upon. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come and be with us.
Thank you, Charlotte, for making me a part of this wonderful community. I am sending the warmest hug and this, you know, cup full of saffron sunshine to all the listeners. May this book bring you joy. May your day be fantastic.
And just knowing it's, if you read it real fast, she's an inspired writer, so there'll be more to come. That's sometimes, I've had some books that I've read and I wanted, you know, some more to come. So now I can be excited that as I get this book, I can look forward to the next one.
Lily, you got it.
Okay, well, have a wonderful weekend, and I will hear you again, because we want to keep in touch with your story and see what happens as you speak. I can see you speaking every age group, because there's something speaking to children, speaking to elderly people like me, because the energy, when you talked about sometimes at night when people can't sleep, people used to get a book, but then it's so much you have to go through. But now, with books that read themselves, and you mentioned Kindle, that there are other opportunities, that this is just, I think you are a cheerleader. We need to make a, tell the technology people we need your cape.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. Okay. So grateful. Thank you.
And I'll see you again. And when people ask me what time it is, I always say it's love time, poem time. Love.
Right back at you. Time. Take care, Sean.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.